Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Calleth in the Deep. I am your host, Jeremy Lopez, and today I'm going to take a little radical turn in this broadcast. I'm going to call it The Grammys Revealed What? And the reason why, because many of you that are tuning into this broadcast right now, fresh as it comes out on a Monday morning, many of you remember last night, Sunday night, we had the Grammys, which comes on once a year, which, as many of you know, reveals the award of the best artist, maybe of the year, the best record of the year, for country music, pop music, rock music, Christian music, you know, jazz, all these different varieties of music. And of course, it usually lasts maybe 2 or 3 hours, is it not? And I tend to watch them every year because I love them. I think they're exciting. I think it's fun to see what's going on with singers I've never heard of before, singers I have heard of before, what they're up to nowadays, if their, you know, music style's changed, you know, if their music's gotten better, if it's gotten worse. And so it's that point of view I want to talk about today, because as many of you know, a lot of you are Facebook friends of mine, and many of you, of course, are on our fan page, and I tend to post sometimes things on there, basically besides Identity Network stuff, of maybe some sales we're running, or of one of my newest books, or newest CDs, or schools, or someone else's product. But I tend to also every once in a while put into the mix my own feeling as far as, hey, getting ready to watch the Grammys, or, you know, getting ready to travel overseas, or something to that nature, or maybe a principle from someone. And every once in a while, many of you probably have read before, you've heard before, or tuned in before, or maybe in your own life, you've done this on your own Facebook, where there tends to always be a bad apple in the crowd. Have you ever noticed that? There's always a bad apple. Now, when I say what I'm about to say, I don't want many of you get offended, because I know sometimes it tends to, when we hear the president or different people, you know, tend to say this group of people is likened to that group of people, and sometimes we hear it about these people are sort of like ISIS, or these people are sort of like terrorists. And I know we have to be, it's a sticky situation and subject, is it not? But I'm going to compare it in a nice way, and that is this. Every religion has its radicals. You know, even Buddhism, even though Buddhism is a very loving, peace-oriented religion, they don't believe in war, they don't believe in weapons or anything else, there tends to be a certain group of them, of fanatics, who tend to want to be able to get in there and fight in war. And it's always against the actual foundation of the religion. Like, for example, we see with Islam, we see with Muslims, you know, we see, you know, the radical group in there, the terrorists, the you know, the ISIS of the day, where, you know, we notice that it even goes against a lot of the beliefs that they believe. And you know what, folks, guess what? Christianity is without exception, because we tend to have the extremities within Christianity, do we not? How many of you love the Lord more than anything in your life? You will do anything in the world for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you'll stand up for him. You cast out devils, you pray over the sick, you know, you bind this, and you prophesy to this, and we believe the word of God, do we not? We believe what we call the full gospel, from Genesis to Revelation. And we are sold out, born again Christians. But on the other hand, there tends to be a group who tends to have the same title, and they tend to want to be able to be the church police, judge everyone, tell you what you should and should not listen to, what you should and should not watch. And those who do are going to be compared to the prophets of Baal, you know, which one lady on Facebook, you know, compared me to, or many of us actually on Facebook, because we were actually watching the Grammys and different groups. And here's my opinion, and please take it for what it's worth. But in my opinion, this group of extremes are no different than terrorists, because of the fact, and I know that might shake a little and rattle a couple of people's, you know, thinkings and theology, but let me tell you why. Because why on earth is there always the extremes in groups in all religions and people all over the world who tend to feel as if they have the answer, they're the prideful ones, they know the truth, and everyone else must be able to adhere to that truth. They tell you what to watch, they tell you what not to do. Let me ask you an honest question, folks. Is that no different than terrorists who go about doing the same exact thing? Those who do not bow to Allah, those who do not adhere to their religion, they cut off their heads. And maybe in the extremities of Christianity, we haven't seen that in a long time. But folks, we have to some degree. Back in the day when they blew up abortion clinics, I'm actually, one of my employees actually knew the people, as sad as it is, that knew the people that actually blew up some of the abortion clinics in Florida. So guess what, folks? It's still in the blood. Whether the people are doing it or not, it's still in the blood to be that extreme radical feeling as if my job is to make sure everyone else bows to, guess what? Not necessarily the Bible, but their own interpretation of the Bible. Isn't that strange? Isn't it strange how it's always the radicals who go into the place where they know the truth and they know the reality of what the Scripture says, because it's always about their interpretation, leaves no room for error. It is the absolute truth of what they believe. And folks, let me tell you something. That's a very dangerous place to be. Very dangerous place to be. Do I believe what I believe in the Bible is what the Holy Spirit showed me and how the Holy Spirit has breathed over my life? Absolutely. But guess what? I never ever quote or never feel or say to myself or anyone else that, guess what? I am a human. And no matter how much I can quote to you that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that I believe in the positive way of life, I believe in the positive way of thinking, that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I believe in thoughts becoming things. I believe in all of these things that we feel as if the Scripture has related to us throughout centuries and, you know, of times past. But I also remember that I am human, and my interpretation is going to be very limited, because I'm a human being with a human brain, and therefore I leave enough grace in my own life towards myself and also as well as other people to understand that, you know what, none of us are perfect, and none of us have the truth of the marketplace when it deals with the Scripture. None of us have the truth of what we consider, you know, what the Word of God is really trying to say. So folks, here's one of the first things I'd like to recommend to you. Never, ever, ever feel as if you know the truth or you have the fullness of the interpretation of the Scriptures. Because guess what, folks? So did Jim Jones' people. Jim Jones' people, if you remember Jim Jones from Jamestown, guess what? They felt the exact same way. They felt as if that Jim was following God and Jim was listening to God and Jim thought he was listening to God. And guess what? That's how cults get started, folks. There are thousands of cults all around the world, and even though we look at these cults and we say to ourselves, you know, what possesses a person to believe that way, that extreme? And I say, the same way that you believe, you're an extreme in other areas of your own life. And guess what, folks? Many of you are extremes when it deals with caffeine. Many of you are extremes when it deals with alcohol. Many of you are extremes when it deals with hatred or bitterness or judgmentalism, or you're extreme in your area of feeling as if your job is to clean up the church. Everybody has an extremity, folks. And even though we hate it, it's what we call just the demons that we have to fight with all the time, because we realize that everyone has an issue that they're fighting through. That's what the Bible says, fight with a good fight of faith. You know, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, we are saved by grace, not by faith. You know, not by works, as any man should boast, another scripture says. So we're dealing with the fact that it's strictly, folks, by the aspect that we are not perfect beings, and we will fall. The Bible says the righteous will fall. It doesn't say you might. It says the righteous will fall 7 times, but God will deliver them out of them all. Why? Because God understands from the aspect that you will fall. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You will stay in error all the days of your life. There's a sense of you who will know the truth, because that truth will continue and continually, constantly make you free. But on the other hand, though, you are working in a realm called the natural that is limited. So you have to remember, you do not have all the truth. Now then, let's get started with the Grammys for a moment. And I want every one of you not to feel as if I'm being, you know, more negative in the broadcast, but to have an eye-opening experience to realize, what class of people do you fall under? Do you fall under the church police that feel as if that the only thing you should do in your life is to read Christian books, listen to Christian music, Pray in tongues 24/7. You know, look for a demon under every rock that you got to bind out. Everybody is wrong. And here's the situation that most people don't realize. I had a lady on Facebook, for example. And of course, God bless her. We just bless her. But you know what? We've all been there. There was a time in my life when I was the extreme. Man, if many of you knew me 25 years ago, I was that extreme person, where I could not imagine somebody not even listening to a Christian song. God forbid that you would listen to anything else beside a spirit-filled Christian song. And then I even got to where I was judging other Christian songs, you know, which of course, you know, many of us need to look at what we listen to. Yes, absolutely, no matter what it is, if it's stamped Christian or not, does it matter? Listen to the Holy Spirit of what you feel is good for you, right for you. And so within this within this Facebook, post, the one woman had posted on there the idea of, it's almost as if what's happened to the prophets of God, what happened to the body of Christ, this other preacher. And it's really funny how she quoted from another preacher. And it's so, and I even reminded her, I said, isn't that like what some say, what Jesus commended Peter that, he did not do, and that was you didn't listen to what some people said. It wasn't about what, promotion comes from the east nor the west, but promotion comes from God. It's that same situation of, look up for your redemption, draweth nigh, don't listen to what some people say. Everything in life is about, are you listening to the limited? Are you listening to people? Are you looking towards the east and the west for your answers or your solutions? Or are you listening to God above to listen to the answer that is made and fabricated just for you? Hello, just for you. Not everyone can handle things. Not everyone can handle everything. And sometimes people are not ready for certain things. And sometimes people will never be ready for certain things. And some people can handle things and it's not wrong for them. And some people, it's not right for them to listen to this or it's wrong for them to do this. And so you have to remember, church police, you are dangerous folks because you're not called, from a biblical point of view. You're called to focus on the own plank in your eye because when your plank is out of your own eye and my plank is out of my eye, I will be a better example of Christ. I'll be the example that I need to be, and that is non-judgmental, full of grace, full of compassion, full of mercy, so that others can see the Christ in me, not the Christ that's waiting to kill them, get them. Because when you are not concerned with a plank in your own eye, you're gonna give off a warped, demented, disgusting, pardon my expression, example of who Jesus Christ really is. Because you're going to teach people that he is probably like their abusive parent. He's probably like the teacher at school who maybe paddled their hand if they went to a Catholic school where, when you did wrong, they paddled your, the nuns would paddle your hand, They probably have this warped sense of reality that must be what Jesus is like, because that's all my peers have been like. And you know what you're doing? You're giving them this horrible impression of a loving God, who God says, I am love. You're giving them a horrible impression of a Jesus that said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that a God who loved the world. And it doesn't mean God was in the system of the world. It says, but he loved the world. And so it's that place of understanding that he sent his son, who was divine love, who showed us the way of the Father, who let us know he was the way, truth, and the life, and that the way was not to judge people, but the way was to go about like the woman, who was caught in adultery. And that was, look, I'm not your condemner. I don't accuse you. I'm not your accuser. Just go and sin no more. And gave her the exhortation of understanding, I'm not here to judge. I'm here to help you and to tell you can live a better life than that. Go for it. Come on. I believe in you. Go and sin no more. That's the attitude Jesus had to everyone. He was a friend of sinners, folks. And when you get to a place where you cannot listen to anything, watch anything, hang out with anybody that's lesser, here's what you're really saying, that are less important than you are, because you're the one that's sweating blood, sweat, and tears here for the kingdom of God, sacrificing, that God would honor your sacrifice, and that God would see how much I've given up for him. I want to say hogwash, folks. That's not Christian. That's not Christianity. You're trying to do a Christian gospel by your works, and Jesus made it very plain. The scriptures made it very plain. That's not how we're saved. We're saved by grace. We're saved by an ultimate grace, an unmerited favor of God's amazing favor upon our lives that we couldn't conjure up. We couldn't do anything about ourselves. And so God is not going to look in your low self-esteem because you're trying to show him that you're working so hard for him. And look at the sacrifice I've made. You're no different, folks, in the parable where the master hired these three servants, one in the morning, one in the evening, one at nighttime. And at the very end of the day, all three of them got paid the exact same. And the one who worked all day long was so mad at the master because he said, "How?" Basically, in my words, according to scripture, is what's wrong, master? I mean, my goodness, you paid him, the guy who worked probably an hour, the same amount of pay that you paid me, and I worked 8 hours for you. What's the deal? And the master let him know, look, first of all, that's none of your business. You agreed to be paid this amount for your 8 hours. Everything else outside of what you agree to, let's just face it, folks, is none of your business. Did you hear what I just said? Now, this will rattle some of you, especially those who are very religious people, but it's a fact, it's a truth, and you know what the parable is saying, that it's none of your business. The master was letting the servant know, if you agree to these terms, if you agree to working 8 hours a day, then if I hire somebody to work 30 minutes and I decide as the master, as the boss, to pay him the same amount that I do, you're agreeing your 8 hours, guess what? It is none of your business. Keep your mouth shut. It doesn't involve you. You agreed to this, so you need to butt out and keep your nose where it belongs. That's very blunt, is it not? And I'm saying this in a loving way. I'm just saying, though, from a humorous attitude, that's what I'm trying to bring forth to you. It's none of your business. Keep your nose where it belongs, and that is on your own face. Work out your own salvation of fear and trembling. You know, deal with the plank in your own eye, because your job is not to deal with the plank in other people's eyes. Your job is to live out the truth. So, when we get back to Facebook, we get back to the Grammys. Let's put it this way. This lady had mentioned to many of us on Facebook, and she mentioned, you know, she says, prophets and people of God do not watch that kind of stuff. And some of my amazing, loving, God-fearing people on Facebook, who I love dearly, you know, were basically saying, you know, things to the nature of, well, yeah, how did you know? You didn't even watch them. How do you know they're bad? Well, because this other preacher said this. This other preacher said we as Christians should not be caught watching Grammys. And first of all, I was about to say, I would feel so embarrassed to let someone else know that I'm not watching them because a preacher or someone else told me I shouldn't watch them. I mean, I was about to say, you know what? Go drink the Kool-Aid, because that's not Christianity. You know, the thing is, what is the Holy Spirit showing you as you watch it? To where, guess what, he can begin to work both the will and do of his good pleasure in you and through you, to where you'll know A, what to pray for, who to pray for, B, you'll be able to understand some music. Let me ask you an honest question, folks. Is jazz music of the devil? Because this woman tends to look at it that way. Is certain love music, you know, of the devil? I had a question I had years ago that I proposed in one of my sermons that many of you are probably going to laugh at. But I was talking about, you know, sacred versus secular. And one of the things I brought in there, I said, okay, let me ask you guys a question. Many of you in this room are going to say, oh, secular music is of the devil. And I was about to say, then let me ask you a question. When you're in the intimacy, we'll just leave it at rated G here, folks, okay? When you're in the intimacy in the bedroom, courts of the bedroom with your husband or your wife, and you're making love, let me ask you an honest question. Do you listen to Amazing Grace while you make love? Because if you do, something's really wrong with that picture, folks. Something is very demented about that picture. But when you are in intimacy, where the marriage bed, the Bible says, is not defiled, when you are in that place of intimacy, do you put on, maybe if you want to listen to a little music, romance, do you not light some candles if you're going to be, maybe it's your anniversary, and you not put on a little Luther Vandross, or maybe a little Celine Dion, or maybe a little Barry Manilow? You know, I'm giving away my secrets here, folks, you know, of the music that I like, you know, when I'm in that mood, or something in my spirit, or, you know, or just I love to listen to love songs. If I'm not listening to good praise and worship, or if I'm just chilling at home, you know? Honestly, do you guys not do that? Am I the only one in life that you know, would not listen to some type of, you know, worship song while you're having, you know, making love to your spouse? I mean, come on, folks, your wife, your husband. I mean, so guess what, folks? As silly as that sounds, that's the idea. That's the mentality people have. My question would be this: when did a love song become demonic? I thought God was love. Well, you know, and some people would argue the fact of, well, a lot of love songs out there are demented. Well, you just said it right there. A lot. Not all. A lot. You know, so my question would be this. Is it fair for me to judge Hispanics or blacks or whites and say, all black people are this way, all Hispanic people are this way, all white people are this way? And many of you, of course, all of you that are listening to me, I'm sure you're either black, you're white, you're Hispanic, or you're Asian, or whatever. Would that not offend you? Because it would offend me if I was to say, oh, your group of people, yeah, you all are the same. Isn't that offensive to someone? But you know why it's offensive? Because you were all judged by the color of your skin, as opposed to the individuality that you were created in the image and likeness of God. Am I correct? So how many of us do that with music? Oh, it's all bad. Really? So a good love song, so there's not any love songs out there that you cannot listen to, maybe driving down the street, that would deal with a love between, you know, you and your spouse? And so that's now demonic? When did everything becomes so demonic when we don't stamp and throw the name of Jesus on there? When did it become demonic, folks? When did it become evil and wrong and demonic? When we begin to, you know, to go watch a good movie that might have, let's say, just a, you know, good love story in it, you know, or maybe a love scene between a husband and a wife. When did that become demonic? When did it become demonic to see a good action-packed movie or a good drama or a good funny, you know, humorous movie? Were there, is there going to be maybe one or two cuss words in it? Sure there will be. You know what? And that's when we have to look at the pure, all things are pure, when we see the good in stuff and move from a Christ-conscious mind, which is the mind of Christ, as opposed to a sin-conscious mind that always only finds the bad in things. Folks, if you're only going to find the bad in things, I have news for you. You need to stay in your house, throw away your key, throw it away, lock yourself up, and don't leave your house. Because here's the bottom line of it. You will go to a service station to fill your car up full of gas that's going to sell alcohol if you don't drink, you know, or cigarettes if you don't smoke, you know, or maybe it's someone who's going to operate the place or who owns the place but is probably the worst heathen you've ever imagined or thought possible, you know, who could gamble with their money or do whatever, and you're supporting them by buying gas. You're going to go to a grocery store to buy food there where they're still going to sell maybe alcohol if you're not into alcohol or cigarettes or you know, or anything. You know, you're going to go to any place. You know, you can go to a Christian bookstore, folks, and you can buy a Bible, and I have news for you. You don't know who really owns that Christian bookstore. You don't know what they do in the privacy of their own home. You don't know what they do. They could be cheating on their wife, and you're buying a Christian book and a Christian Bible thinking you're supporting a Christian man or woman of God, and yet, you know, you have no clue. You have no clue what goes on in my house. I have no clue what goes on in your house. But here's what we do. We trust God. We watch the fruit of the Spirit from people who bear forth much fruit. We know that there are that we are His disciples by the love we have one for another. So on the Grammys, is it right or fair to say that we watch the Grammys and we notice that maybe Beyonce, who last night, now have we seen some bad things by her before? Well, sure, absolutely. But can I be honest with you? If you look at my life, you're going to find some bad things about my life as well. And yet I'm a man of God who tries his best to serve God with all of his heart, soul, and strength. And I can guarantee you I could probably find some junk on each one of you if we all lived next to each other. You know, it's just the way of life. But here's the thing. Is it wrong to watch a woman last night named Beyonce who actually sang with a choir, "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me home"? Is it wrong when we judge people like Katy Perry because we hear her comments of saying, you know, "I don't believe in Jesus anymore," or "I'm not a follower of Buddha," or "I'm not a follower of whatever, but I pray to God," and that was a quote-unquote that she said recently, and her mom and dad, who are friends of mine, are powerful, anointed, spirit-filled, prophetic people who love God more than anything, but they have grace on their daughter. They love their daughter. And you know what? If the scripture is true, which we believe it is, train up a child in the way they should go. When they get older, they will not depart from that. So is it wrong for us to turn our back on someone who might have quote-unquote gone astray? Is it wrong for us because we don't know how she was raised? In fact, if you read the stories of her life, you'll find out that her mom and dad, who are no longer this way, and by the way, God bless Keith and Mary Hudson, who is Katy Perry's mom and dad. God bless them. I feel bad for them for all the hell they have to go through from really extreme Christian people who always just nail them to the cross constantly by the actions of their own daughter. How dare us do something so horrible to a person, to a couple who this is their child that they held in their arms. They watched as a little girl probably, you know, cheerlead. They watched her open up her presents at Christmas time. How dare us judge a man, a woman's of God, their child that they love more than anything, and we have the right to tell them how to run their household and how to not even welcome her anymore in their home because she's not a quote-unquote Christian. Folks, let me tell you something. Whether you understand this or not or have been there, done that, all of us to some degree have quote-unquote backslidden. All of us to some degree have turned our back on God, maybe through a death of a parent, how maybe we've had a quick fix of 10 minutes of cussing God out because your husband or your wife died of cancer and you prayed for them and they didn't live, you know, and we had that moment of how dare you, God. You know, what makes you any different, folks? What makes us any different from a girl who's struggling back and forth, who creates good songs like Fireworks, you know, or Wide Awake that we could turn around to be a Christian song? Who gives us the right to judge someone else knowing that they're misguided? But yet, we're so quick to get on Facebook and condemn these people. And yet, the whole time, I want so bad to say, and no offense against Mark Zuckerberg, but he said this, and so I'll say something that he said, and he's quoted, but how dare us get on Facebook and say, we would never watch the Grammys, we would never do this, we would never do that, and yet the whole time we're on Facebook, who is owned by Mark Zuckerberg, who will tell you, I am not a Christian, I do not believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and yet who is blunt in his belief, and yet you support him on Facebook, dogging everyone else, talking bad about everyone else because they watch the Grammys one time a year, and you're probably on Facebook every single day of your life. So my question would be this, folks. Who's in the right here? You know, I mentioned about Beyonce. We'll close here in a second. So last night, Katy Perry came on the Grammys, and she sang a song that's on her album that is called By the Grace of God. And then I heard that same lady or another lady even said something to the effect of, well, she's talking about another God. Really, folks? Have we become that shallow, that vain, that, can I put it honest and blunt, have become that stupid that we would actually say that she's conjured up maybe a prophet of Baal or something? Folks, come on. You know, where is our grace on people to just say, you know what? Thank you, God. Thank you that she sang a song that talks about the grace of God, how she picked herself back up. And yet, you know what? You've never really actually gone into her own life to understand what she's talking about. Because I know this. I know this personally, folks. Not from some stupid news, ultra-conservative magazine, or ultra-conservative radio show because of what they say. No. And it's not about hearsay what some say according to what Jesus told Peter. It's about knowing personally that she wrote that song because of the fact when her and her ex-husband were married, it destroyed her. It broke her heart. She was suicidal because of the fact her husband left her. You know, and whether she was wild or not, it was a heart where it was ripped out. And so she wrote a song how by the grace of God, she was able to pick herself back up off the bathroom floor. Her sister was there to help her. That's what the song talks about. And folks, can I not be honest with you? I thought we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. Is someone not allowed to write and give 5 minutes of praise and glory to God because their heart was damaged and broken and wounded and bruised? What has happened to us as a society, much less what has happened to us as a body of Christ, a body of believers, when we look at our lives and we say to ourselves, how dare her say this when she sang a song last year that dealt with a dark horse? How dare her? How dare him do this? You know, and yet the whole time we look and we think to ourselves, do you know their heart? Have you given enough time and you've given them enough respect to maybe read more about them, to know where they are in their lives? Folks, I got news for you. You don't know what it's like to be in the spotlight. I do. You don't know what it's like to be in a place of Hollywood where people, their thinking is so different than ours. And a lot of it, yes, could be possibly warped. And a lot of it is. And a lot of it's not. But yet, guess what? How dare you? And guess what? Been there, done that. How dare us begin to find ourselves when we don't know the struggle that people go through, that we just tend to overlook a couple of the bad moments they go through, and instead of judging them and turning them off, pray for them that maybe God will continue to lead them back to a place of healing and wholeness, believing that maybe they'll make, if they don't make Christian godly music, that they will begin to make at least some fun music, that we can maybe look like Pharrell wrote, happy because I'm happy, clap along, you know, if you feel like you're in a room without a roof, you know, is that ungodly because he wrote a song that is likened to the joy of the Lord is our strength, that is a very happy, healthy song that deals with nothing about sin, nothing about drugs, nothing about cheating on your wife? Is that song considered ungodly? If it is, folks, and we need to reevaluate our lives and get the mind of Christ. So if they're not going to do that, let's just pray at least they sing some good, happy, healthy songs for us to sort of jam to in the car, you know? And here's the place we need to be, folks. I'll close with this. Evaluate your life. Evaluate your life. Re-examine who you are. Ask yourself, am I that person on Facebook who does that? Am I the one who tells people what to do and what not to do? Am I the one who condemns and judges people? Or am I the one who is showing the love of Jesus, living the example by giving God glory, by loving God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind, and the second greatest of the entire Word of God, the entire Word of God, is to love your neighbor as you love yourself? How much do you love yourself today? If you're going to judge someone else, folks, you know what you're showing me? You're showing me how little you love yourself. The more that you love your neighbor as yourself, you're showing me how much you truly love authentic, the original authentic person that God's created you to be. If you judge and you condemn, you're showing me you have low self-esteem and you have no love towards yourself. That's why you're acting it out towards other people. Folks, we're being serious here. This is a place. And you know, by the way, for that lady who likened, you know, hundreds of people who watch the Grammys, thousands of people who were born to Christian people who watch the Grammys, who compared all of us to the prophets of Baal. Let me read this to you and I'll close with this. Romans chapter 11, verse 4. And by the way, folks, the word Baal is only mentioned in the New Testament one time. And so when you're, if you're going to quote scripture to make a point, please do me a favor. Please don't quote a war, that battle that happened 4,000 and 5,000 years ago when it dealt with on a field between the prophets of God and the prophets of Baal, which was a created god that they created, which, by the way, folks, is not a god. And it doesn't, and Baal does not exist today unless someone says, hey, I am resurrecting the image of Baal, and here's my idol. I'm going to worship him. And then guess what? Then you have the right to say they're people of Baal. But if not, folks, don't pull something from 5,000 years ago. We are New Testament people, folks. Have we not matured to that level that we are New Testament sold out people of Jesus Christ, who said that if somebody strikes you, give them the other cheek to strike. If somebody says, hey, would you walk with me just, you know, a couple of inches with me? Give them a mile. If they say, hey, you know what? I need a shirt. You give them the shirt off your back. What happened to that Jesus that we're supposed to serve? And it wasn't talking about if you're Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, blood-bought, child of the King, friend, blah, 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 happens to do this to you. No, we're talking about your neighbor. We're talking about somebody who might not be a Christian, who might be a Christian, who might not just be into Jesus right now. Or maybe they were hurt. Maybe they're Buddhist. Hello. And yet, how many of you are blessing those by walking the extra mile to show them the God that you serve is a God of love and would do anything and everything in the world for them? So back to this, and I'll close with this, Romans 11:4. And it's quoted from the story, not from a New Testament point of view, but from a story that happened years ago, thousands of years ago, to show us exactly what Jesus was trying to say through the Apostle Paul in Romans, exactly where we fit in the prophets of Baal today. Are you ready? It says this, verse 4, and I quote, "And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal," verse 5, "so too at the," I love this, "at the present time, back way back years, thousands of years ago." He's talking about, hey, I reserved 7,000 here, folks. I had 7,000 who didn't bow to the knee of Baal. Now then, thousands of years later, verse 5, "at the present time," I love how he does that for people who can't seem to separate the Old Testament from the New Testament. "At the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace." Wow, isn't that powerful? Chosen by grace, verse 6. "And if by that grace, then it cannot be based solely on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace." Folks, listen to me as we close in this broadcast. God said thousands and thousands of years ago, man, when it dealt with the prophets of Baal, I had 7,000 prophets who did not bow to Baal, but they bowed to Jehovah God. And then now, thousands and thousands of years later, in this present time, I'm raising up a remnant of people. And these remnant of people, guess what? They won't be warriors fighting, destroying, calling down fire upon their enemy. No, no, no. That's not the New Testament. Even one of the guys, I heard Robert Slaughter once say this, which is so true. Even in Acts, one of the guys said, well, Jesus, man, why don't you just call down fire upon them? Because that was an Old Testament way of thinking. And that's not what Jesus wanted to do. When he was on the cross, they didn't say, you know, they said, what's wrong with you, man? You could just call down fire. You could call angels down to get you. What's wrong with you? And you know what he's trying to say? Because I'm trying to update you in the now moment. That's not how we function anymore. That's not what we do anymore. It's not how we act anymore. It's not what I'm doing anymore on the earth. What I'm doing and what I'm about to do is establish a new covenant. And when I say it's finished, praise God, it is finished. I don't have to do that stuff anymore. Now we're going to move into grace. So God says, in this present time, I'm going to raise up a remnant of grace people. And it won't be by anything else. Hello, church police. It won't be done by anything else. Hello, those terrorists I call in Christianity who feel like they need to judge everybody else according to what they believe. It's not done by anything else. It is strictly and merely done by the grace of a God who says we are saved by and through grace and grace alone. I'll leave you with this. If you get a chance, go to identitynetwork.net. Go to identitynetwork.net. I just released a teaching. And by the way, folks, guess what? It is a teaching that is only $6.99. That's all. It's an MP3 download. And I just put it out the other day. And it's called Going Beyond Human Thinking. Going Beyond Human Thinking. It's on the homepage of Identity Network for the next week. Going Beyond Human Thinking. I encourage you, get the download. It's just $6.99. Get the download today to where you'll know how to think. And of course, I won't get on my soapbox in the teaching. It's actually a teaching dealing with how to think in and through the mind of Christ. God bless each and every one of you. Please know how much I love each one of you, even the church police, I love you. I just pray that we all return back to the nature, the divine nature that we're called to be partakers in through Jesus Christ. God bless you.